TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth, and good evening, race fans. Coming to you live here from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with us anytime on our Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, our Twitter account at TJSlideways, also the email inbox TJ at TJSlideways.com. Later in the program, we're going to have World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series driver Joey Saldana talk about the upcoming season opener in a couple weeks in Volusia Speedway Park. Also, we're going to have Rex Lejeune on from Attica Raceway Park to talk about their 2014 season. So Joey Saldana, Rex Lejeune coming up a little later in the program. But we're going to kick things off tonight and make our way east. And a gentleman who's probably digging his way out of about as much snow as we have here in the Great Lakes area. He works with the Empire Super Sprints, and they announced their 2014 schedule and a lot of really neat things on there. So Dean Reynolds came on board to talk to us tonight. Dean, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem, TJ. And believe it or not, we actually don't have any snow right now.
That's unbelievable.
You tell me about it. We're in the snow capital of the world, as everyone talks it, and we've been lucky so far, but they are talking 6 to 12 inches coming tomorrow.
Yeah, so things will be right back to normal. Well, you
Absolutely.
Guys announced a great 2014 schedule a few days ago, and first thing that stood out to me looking on the schedule are the amount of dates at Sealance Grove Speedway this year. Now, Sealance Grove is switching from the 358 sprint cars full-time, making a transition to the 360 sprint cars, and it appears that the Empire Super Sprints are going to be a big part of that this year.
Well, we're going to go down in the beginning of April, something that we did last year. We kind of did a challenge race with their regular class, which was the 358s last year, and now it's the 358-360s because they're doing a phase-out deal. But we're doing a challenge race with Mach 1 helping out a little bit with 3,000 to win, and that kicked off our year last year, and we got quite a few of our guys to go down because we do run a full-point show there in May, on May 17th. And it's a great way for our guys to get used to the track. Because Sealance Grove, as you know, it's a fast track.
And that's one thing. You guys, you know, do encounter a lot of big racetracks, though, during the year. I mean, a lot of the racetracks you go are real big, fast, modified places that sometimes the ESS cars are the fastest cars to go around those tracks all year.
I'd say the fun part about the tour is we do hit tracks like Sealance Grove, and then, you know, Lebanon Valley is a big, big high bank half mile. We got Rolling Wheels and Utica Rome. But, you know, we got the other syndrome, too. We do go to, you know, Merivale's a small third mile, so is Brewerton. We're going back to La RPM in Quebec, which is a dinky little quarter mile. And this year we're going to Bradford, which is a small quarter mile. So, but, as you know, that's a lot of fun with the traveling organization. You get to see so many different tracks, and that's what makes it unique because the champion of the tour is really a champion that adapts to all of them the best.
And another thing that I saw has returned its way to the schedule is the asphalt assault at the Evans Mills Speedway. Now, how did the deal come about to bring ESS to a one-race asphalt deal, and it returns for the season?
Well, Teresa Caprera, who was promoting the track last year, actually approached me, and we always thought about doing an asphalt race. We actually had one on the schedule a couple years ago, but it just didn't pan out. We were going to go to Oswego, and we actually had a test session with Mike Stelter and Doug Emery, but it just had a confliction in the schedule at the last minute, and we lost a couple of teams the week before due to accidents and stuff, and we just didn't think we were going to have enough cars. But then when Evans Mills approached us, Evans Mills is a little bit smaller track. It's a third mile, circular shape, but no walls on the outside. And I started talking around, and we got a good purse, and I thought, yeah, we're going to be able to get a good field of cars. We did wind up with 13. We were hoping a little bit more, but once the event got done, a lot of the teams that were sitting on the sidelines said, we're doing this next year. And the whole key is to keep your dirt car rules. They put on asphalt tires, allow stiffer shocks, and, you know, if they want to put on a right front brake, they can, but no one did. And quite frankly, TJ, it took about 20, 25 minutes to change your car over and you can run the asphalt.
Well, hopefully it continues to stay that way. And probably doing one show a year helps that, too. If you did more than one, you'd probably start getting in some trouble there with the special cars.
Yeah, because then some guys will start building cars, especially for the asphalt. Even though we got the rules set up basically to not do that, there's still loopholes that can be found. And when you do it for one race, it's just it's really not worth the time. And quite frankly, we actually have a dirt race the night before at Mohawk, so it kind of really puts the kibosh to that as well. But it worked out great last year. Yeah, I think once a year will be fine.
Another thing that's returning to the schedule this year that I thought was really neat for last season was Central New York Speed Week. And you guys over the July 4th holiday are going to be very busy with your second annual Speed Week. And it was pretty well received last year and looks like it's grown a little bit this year and should be even bigger.
That was probably the most talked about aspect of our schedule last year was the Speed Week. We don't really know if there's any 360 organizations out there that really actually schedule what is called, quote-unquote, a Speed Week, let alone here in the Northeast where there's modified country. And it just worked out where we got five nights in a row, and we gave it a shot. We didn't know what we were going to get into, and it just went better than we ever thought. Crowds were huge at all the tracks. The car counts, the smallest was 34, the highest was 40, and it went over very well. And it was definitely one of the most talked about things they did. And like Jason Barney mentioned to me over during the week, when he went out to the Short Track Nationals during out in Little Rock, Arkansas, he said people came up to him and started talking about the ESS Speed Week. And we're glad to do it again.
And that's going to have several dates over the July 4th weekend. Now, another race that seems to be gaining momentum is the Cole Cup. And this year it's going to be paying $10,000 to win at Utica Rome Speedway. And this thing is starting to get off the charts. A really big race for you guys here in the States.
Well, big 360 races here in the States, and especially in New York, haven't really been successful since, I don't know if you remember, the old Bully Hill days at what was Black Rock Speedway. It is modified country. We're here in New York. The modifieds rule, and we know that. The fans do love their modifieds, but they also like to see sprint cars come to their track every now and then. But to put on a big dollar event, it just hasn't been feasible for the promoters. Well, Gene Cole, who really likes sprint cars and supports ESS three times a year, wanted to put together a 360 show. So we drew up a purse last year, gave it a shot, got 52 cars. Unfortunately, the weather was absolutely horrible for the original date, and we had to wind up using the rain date. It really wasn't a moneymaker for Gene, but he said, hey, anytime I can get 52 cars that traveled as far as they did on weather like this, we're going to try it one more time. And then Gene says, you know what, let's add a little spice to it. Let's add some more money to it, and let's see if we can really make this thing take off. And, you know, Glenn's Canadian Nationals is always going to be the big 360 event, but we got one in the States now, and Glenn came out and supported it because it's the week before his track, and we did a nice cross-promotion and worked out really well.
And it's really neat like that. You mentioned that you are in modified country, which is a little different animal than probably a lot of our listener base gets involved with. The dynamics quite a bit different. How do you explain for someone that might be in Ohio, where they go to Attica and Fremont every week, what the dynamic is for ESS as far as fitting into the modified realm there? And a lot of your drivers come out of the modifieds and find themselves into the sprint cars.
Well, the one thing that's unique up here is, you know, the sprint races are run totally different. We're coming to a track on a regular Saturday night that runs probably three to four divisions with the modifieds headlining. Most of the sprint car tracks have 15, 20 push trucks. We'll be lucky to see if we get four. So we have to use our own four-wheelers to help push. And the main thing is when you go off into the pits on a flat tire, as soon as the track's clear, we're going green. We can't do the two-minute rule or the two-lap rule like most situations, you know, organizations have, which strikes a little bit different. You know, we got to put on sprint races in modified country. And, you know, when we went down to Phillips Grove last year, when we mentioned that once a track clear, we're going to go green, they're looking at me like there's no two-lap rule or anything like that. And we say, no, this is how we got to do it in New York. And that's the biggest difference. But that's not necessarily bad. It puts on a good show, puts on a quick show, and a successful show.
I'm all for that. I'm not there to see pit stops. So that's good for me. Dean Reynolds from Empire Super Sprints joining us. And Lucas Oil has been a big part of your series as well. And we don't see a lot of Lucas Oil involvement in open wheel racing around here. They've got the late model series and do some drag stuff. But you guys are a pretty big presence for them in the Northeast. And that's been a pretty good relationship for you guys.
It's been an awesome relationship. This is the sixth year now. Lucas Oil's backing our whole tour, and, you know, they came to us, you know, 7 years ago, actually. They sponsored a Canadian deal, believe it or not, or a Canadian point championship back 7 years ago, as the deal was actually through Lucas Oil in Mississauga, Ontario. But now that's become a warehouse, and now all the sponsorships and decisions come right out of California itself. And we've expanded and moved on, and you know, from the California base. And I actually got to meet Forrest Lucas himself this year at PRI, which I thought was really cool. He didn't know who I was, but I had my Lucas Oil shirt on, and I just wanted to say thanks. And really approachable guy. But I tell you, Lucas Oil has been great. Our point fund is really, really good every year, and if it wasn't for Lucas, we wouldn't have that luxury. They're just an awesome sponsor.
Another dynamic to the Northeast racing scene is there's a lot of tracks that are starting to garner 305s in your area, and we're starting to see that division feed some drivers up into your class as well. How is that? Are you seeing more of that? Are there some drivers moving from the 305s into the ESS series?
Yeah, we're seeing now, like this year, we're actually going to see two drivers that we know are going to run most of the tour. Jordan Thomas, which, by the way, is Jeff Thomas's son, who Jeff has many, many wins with ESS back in the 90s. And Parker Evans, who ran the 305 last year, is now doing 360 racing, and will run most of the tour there. So we got two drivers that are moving up from the 305s to run 360s. And we're going to see, you know, a couple other guys that do have some 360s, they'll do some spotty starts to get their feet wet and then move up. You know, drivers like Matt Tanner, who was a rookie of the year with us, and Dylan Swernick, who, you know, finished seventh in points with us last year, came from the 305s. It's a great feeding class. It really is. And I think, you know, we're going to see more. And it's good because, you know, it gets the young kids some feet wet with some sprint car racing, you know, with a couple of years in the 305s and then move up. And probably one of the biggest names that we're going to hear maybe next year is going to be Kelly Hebing, Chuck Hebing's daughter.
Yeah, and keeping that legacy alive. And you're also a series that does the border crossing. You do regular trips into Canada. That's a common thing in the Northeast. And you guys actually even have separate point funds for the American-Canadian series. But what's one thing I kind of find unique about ESS and a lot of the series that do crossover? They have some unique like sub-series and little mini-series in the Canadian Championship and the American Championship. You guys do that as well.
Yeah, we find the sub-point funds are unique and actually helps in bringing cars to each event. You know, the tour is tough. You know that, TJ. You know, you travel around and it's hard to do all of it. We got, you know, 26 point shows this year, and, you know, we'll have our nucleus of 15 to 17 cars that will do most of the events. But there are guys that live in Canada that, you know, can't really come down to an I-88 or Utica Rome or wherever, you know, Canandaigua or whatever, and just can't afford to travel. So we have these sub-point funds where they take a look at the Canadian point fund and say, you know what, I can definitely hit those 8 or 9 shows. Let me try to go for the Canadian deal. And or somebody in the States that says, you know, I can't really afford to go up to Granby and Drummond near Montreal, but I can definitely do all the U.S. races. And they travel to all the U.S. races. And that's been a whole key. We still always have the overall champion where we pay points at all our events. And that's where Steve Poirier was last year, and that's where we crown our ESS champion. But we do have a Canadian champion. We have an American champion. We have a SUNY Canton series. You know, we have a Hard Charger series. We got a Dash series. It works out great, you know, and it actually helps the cars traveling to all the different racetracks. We had 118 different drivers run ESS full-point shows last year, and that's astonishing. 118 sprint cars here in New York State to run with us. It's amazing.
That is amazing. Dean Reynolds from the Empire Super Sprints joining us. And you mentioned Steve Poirier was your champion last year. And I tell people around here when they ask about Poirier, he's probably one of the most underrated sprint car drivers in the country. And I'm sure you would concur with that. He gets a lot of press up your way. Not a ton of press nationally. Of course, he got a bunch last year when he won at East Bay. But Poirier, dude's a beast. And you get to him and some of your other guys, your field is stout basically on the entire tour.
I will take the ESS guys now up against some of the best in the country. You've come to the Canadian Nationals as much as I have. And you know, Shane Stewart's a professional driver, runs big 410 races, outlaw races and everything. He's the only one that really has the leg up in Steve Poirier at Oswegan. You know, Steve Poirier is the, you know, a guy to beat there. He's the only one that's got 3 Canadian Sprint Car National titles. He went down to East Bay, picked up the win down there. You know, just like Jason Barney going out to the Short Track Nationals, there's over 100 cars there. Jason Barney missed the A-Main by 3 spots, never seeing that track. And it shows you how good the competition is. At the end of the year, Chuck Hebing ran with the NRA gang at Eldora and took third. At Eldora, never saw that track. We do have a great bunch of drivers, and you know, they're getting stout and they're getting strong, and now they're traveling out a little bit and taking on some of the best in the nation, and it's fun to watch. It really is.
Where do you see ESS going in the next 5 years? We hear a lot about five-year plans with people and stuff. Where do you see ESS heading in the next 4 to 5 years?
Really, believe it or not, we're basically where we want to be. You know, ESS does have its high-dollar teams. You know, we got teams that can afford to travel, but we are still a working man's club. You know, everyone still has their full-time jobs, even me. You know, I have to leave work early on Friday to go to the races or not go into work and don't get paid. I feel the best tour is a good 27-point shows, 33 shows total here in New York, some in Canada, out western New York, out eastern New York, maybe dab into PA a little bit. And then just put some special shows on, like Brett Dale's show down in New Egypt this year. And, you know, we're going to go to Bridgeport, you know, for the Mike Hefner race where, you know, it's going to be, a tribute to, I'm drawing a blank here, Jason Leffler. We're going to be part of that. You know, it's non-points, but some of our high-dollar teams that want to go do that and do it for fun can do it. And that's where I really would like to see. I like to see the sponsorship build so we can pay more drivers a bigger point fund. But right now, we're good where we're at. We just like to see it steady now. You know, we're right where we want to be. We had a five-year plan back in 08. We kind of got that now where we got a good nucleus, a good schedule, where we can bring 30 cars a race, and the fans can see a good show right here in upstate New York. And so far, so good.
It's good to hear from the Empire Super Sprints. Any other new teams that are looking on to sign on, you know, for the full season or maybe even partial season with the Empire Super Sprints this year?
Well, Steve Poirier is going to come back and defend his title. You know, he wants to, matter of fact, his goal is to catch Mike Woodring, who's got 59 all-time career wins. Steve's got 41. It's within reach. He definitely wants to do that. Mike Woodring, of course, has 8 championships. Steve has 4. So that's probably in the back of his mind, but, you know, he's definitely got some stiff challengers. Paul Kenny, that took second in points last year and only his second season with us, he's going to be tough. Chuck Hebing is going to start out the year, and if he's high in points, he'll finish it out. If not, he might miss a show or two. But, you know, he's going to give it a shot. Jason Barney's geared up for the whole tour this year. You know, Lance Young is always going to be geared up. Kevin Ward's going to be ready to do the whole thing. You know, the only one we did lose that, you know, was going to do the whole deal is Michael Perrant with his injury last year, but Michael's doing well. We hope maybe even see him behind the wheel towards the end of the year. But, you know, we got all our teams back, and then some of the younger teams are going to step up and run more races, if not the whole tour. So, you know, Steve Poirier is going to have his work cut out for him.
And, Dean, if people want more information on the Empire Super Sprints, where can they find it?
Yes, EmpireSuperSprints.com, of course, on the web. You know, our website's been there for, you know, 15 years, but we also have a Facebook page. If they search us, Empire Super Sprints, it'll show right up there. And Twitter, we're at ESS Prints. And Twitter's been going very well. So we have them all, and they can catch up all the live-to-date updates. And, you know, we announced a sponsor today with InSinger Performance coming over as our hard charger sponsor, and we put it right up on our Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, people can catch us up to date daily.
All righty. Well, Dean, best of luck this year. I'm sure we'll talk before the Cole Cup and the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals and cross paths somewhere before the year's over. And best of luck to everyone at the ESS. And it's always great working with you guys.
TJ, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure to come on.
All right. Dean Reynolds from the Empire Super Sprints. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Joey Saldana from the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series will join us to talk about Modern Motorsports, Hemsaw coming back on board, and what we can expect from their team in 2014. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season. Featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest is getting ready for his second season of Modern Motorsports on the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series. Veteran driver Joey Saldana joins us on the line. And Joey, thanks for taking time out to join us on this very chilly evening.
Yeah, it's close, it's getting close, and definitely getting excited. Looking forward to the next week racing in Florida. I stayed home this winter, so it definitely gets cold here in Indiana, so I'm ready to get down to Florida and get racing.
I was going to say, you had a complete winter off this year, and so first thing I'm going to ask, we're going to go off the non-racing path for a second. What did Joey Saldana do to fill his time this winter?
Well, I got two awesome boys, and I got one son that's 10 years old, and he's playing basketball right now, and he got to play all-star football, and you know he's being pretty good in sports, and that's definitely something that I hope he sticks with and tries to take it on through high school, and who knows what happens after that. But that was one thing that I didn't start racing until 17 years old, so I quit a lot of the sports in high school to race because it was junior senior year. And probably now, looking back, I didn't start racing until late. I should have just started racing after high school because I don't think that a year or two would have made a difference. But, I really enjoyed that part of high school with sports, and hopefully he can continue this and enjoy it too. And if he ever wants to race or do whatever, he can always do it later on. You don't have to do it when you're 5, 6 years old. So just really stayed home and enjoyed my time with my family and my boys. And, you know, I was gone a lot with my oldest son through the winter and Christmas and stuff. So my youngest son's only 3. So it's neat to see him in Christmas and appreciate him growing up and just being excited for Santa and just all the family things that I've missed through the years with my oldest son. So just trying to relax and enjoy my family and get ready for the upcoming season.
Mentally, do you think it did you a lot of good to take the winter off?
You know, I think a lot of guys, you know, to race with the Outlaws, you kind of, you know, you see Donnie Schatz and you try to emulate him and what he's doing. And, you know, he's the one that kind of got me interested in racing in Australia and New Zealand. And he just races nonstop. And I think just being behind the wheel of a race car, you know, it's hard to skip a beat when you're doing it 24/7. But I think you can also get burnt out. And, you know, some people just aren't as talented as Donnie Schatz. And sometimes you just need to relax and regroup mentally and enjoy the things that are really more important than just racing. And for me this year, that was it. Stay home, join my family, continue working out and doing the things I feel like I need to do to be in shape to race. But, you know, don't bother yourself with racing or, you know, what's coming up or what's going on. Just worry about today and your family and, you know, hopefully in the long run, that's definitely more important. And that's probably one thing in racing. A lot of drivers, they overlook that because, you know, it's just you have to be so focused on what you're doing to be the best you can be. And, you know, it's hard to be everything at once. And I don't want to regret that later on in life that I, you know, didn't get to enjoy my family as much as I should have. But, you know, to each his own. You know, obviously Donnie or Steve or Sammy or whoever, you know, everybody's got to do what makes them feel right. And for me, it was just stay home this winter and see what happens. And I actually enjoyed myself. So hopefully I can continue to hang out with my family and they want me around and we can enjoy the off season together.
Well, congratulations on the off season. Now, some good news came out this past week that Hemsaw, what's old is new again. First of all, you bring Dan Motter back to sprint car racing, and now you're bringing Hemsaw back on board with the team as well.
Yeah, Doug Harris, the owner of Hemsaw, he's been a big attribute to my World of Outlaw Racing. He my season in 2000, 2001, 2, and 3, he was on board with my family team that we put together, and he came back with me in 2008 at KKR. So he's been a big part of my racing career with the World of Outlaws. And, you know, with Dan Motter coming back, I mean, it's hard for one man to, you know, to pay the bills, to have one of these cars out on the road. And Doug's business has been doing very well, and he felt like it was a good time to get back into the sport. He likes what's going on with the World of Outlaws and their TV and the exposure of it, and just felt like, yeah, he'd like to be a part of Modern Motorsports. And he could see it was a team, you know, we're working hard to run against the big teams, and someone like him being a part of our team could help us out tremendously. So definitely looking forward to him being on our car. He definitely brought a lot of good luck to our team when I had my own car, so just a good relationship. He's a good person, has a great business, and hopefully we can do good things for him. And he feels like it was a good idea getting back into World of Outlaws sprint car racing with the Motter 71M.
And when you took the Motter deal, a lot of times you'll take a ride and there'll be a car sitting there, or maybe there'll be a trailer. You literally took a ride where there was a building. Maybe not even a building at that point. And how, if there's any way you could explain to us how daunting of a task is that to get a car, not just a race car ready to race, go sprint car racing, but at the highest level, at the most challenging tour in the world. How can you explain how daunting of a task that is?
Well, I really didn't have a choice. I lost my job, so it was hopefully put something together, and then it fell into, well, we could put something together to run the Outlaws. You know, I think at first it was just maybe we could put a team together and race, and then it became, well, if we were actually make this happen, you know, we can make this happen and we can run the Outlaws. So, you know, I think for Dan, you know, his relationship's been with the World of Outlaws, and he, you know, he was from an elite sprint car team that he had himself. So I think if he was going to come back to the sport, he wanted to be back with the World of Outlaws racing with the Elite Series. And so it was just up to Davey and Sean and Tom and everybody involved with Modern Motorsports just to make it happen. I mean, it definitely is not easy. It's not easy for the teams that are prepared, you know, year after year, like the TSRs and KKR teams and SKR, I mean, Steve Kent, everybody, Sam, everybody that, you know, is out there year after year. I mean, it's still daunting. I mean, it's still hard. It's still, you know, a lot of pressure to prepare your teams and make them, you know, excel at this level and be competitive. And so it's not easy for anybody. And, you know, we were just trying to establish ourselves as a team that can compete with the World of Outlaws at a high level. And I think we did that really well last year. And you just got to build on that and just try and keep getting better and better and try and get your equipment better and just motors better and everything. And I got great guys behind me. I mean, Sean and Davey have been around the sport for a while. And then we brought Tom out last year to help us. And everybody works well together. And we're just, you know, learning as we go and getting better. And this is definitely going to be better for us our second year. And just knowing everybody and our equipment, and hopefully it's a good season, and we do everything that we set out to, and that's win races and hopefully win a championship.
And I've always considered you a guy who knows his way around the race car. You can build it. You've worked on it enough. And for someone that grew up and you did a lot of your own mechanics and stuff, even though you've had good crew chiefs and stuff, but you've been hands on with the race car. Is it difficult for you to, or what is it like to put your trust in someone to set up the car to maybe defer that part to them so you can focus on the driving part? Is that hard when you are a driver that was kind of grew up being hands on with the race car?
Well, actually, I think at the start and to the beginning of my racing career, I think it was the best thing for me. You know, I got to learn about the race cars and, you know, what a torsion bar was or what stagger man or gear or shocks. You know, you just learn your car and you try and, you know, figure out how to make it better. And sometimes that's not good as a driver, where you got like Steve Kinzer with Carl Kinzer. And he's just out driving the wheels off it because Carl's working on it and telling him, hey, I'm doing everything right to make it fast. You just drive it. And so luckily for me, when I got with KKR, that's the way their program was. It was just drive it. You know, we'll worry about making it fast. You just drive it. And I think that definitely made me realize that to compete against the Donnie Schatz or Steve Kinzer, you got to have people in place that that can get the job done, and you have faith in them, and you go out and do the best job you can. And you learn from everybody, and that's what you strive to do, is put the people around you that you feel comfortable with, that you can go out and just focus on racing. I think in today's world, it's really like that. The Ricky Warners or Scott Gerkins, I mean, everybody that's out there working on these cars, they've excelled so much that the drivers have to just believe in everybody around them and do the best job they can. And them are the teams that excel. So, you know, that's what me and Davey are trying to do with ourselves, is make ourselves feel like we're one person, but he's the mechanic and I'm the driver, and I can just believe in everything they're doing and go out and just do my job, and that's race, and race hard every lap and try and win these races. And that's hard to do. So we're trying to figure that out, and hopefully we can do that this year and compete against a Ricky Warner and Donnie Schatz. And it's not going to be easy, but we definitely we're up to the task.
Joey Saldana joining us here on TJ Slideways Live. One thing that you did last year, and I've always wanted to ask someone who's done this, you guys made a chassis change in the middle of the year. And when you're a full-time team, a lot of race fans will probably think, yeah, you know, on today's market, sitting on the shelf, you pick it up, you put it together. But that's got to be logistically, while you're on the road, just an incredible task to undertake, because it's not just the chassis or the car, it's all the spares and everything. How difficult is that of a change to make midstream? I know you've done it a couple of different times throughout your career, but how difficult is it to make that change midstream through the season?
Well, I've never done a complete, you know, manufacturing change throughout the season except last year. You know, obviously last year we started with Eagle, and we felt like Eagle was the right way to go. I think at the end of 2012, Sammy Swindell, to me, was the guy that was, you know, probably the most competitive night after night. And I thought he was going to come out last year and be the guy to beat. So for us building a new team, it was whatever company we felt could help us out. and help us out with, you know, like a factory team, and Eagle was the one that could do that for us. And it just seemed like it, we were just struggling, and Sammy was struggling too. And then when Sammy obviously made the change first, I was like, well, I know I'm not Sammy Swindell. If he can't make it work, I can't make it work. So we need to do something that can help this team out. And Dan let us change to GF1s, which turned our whole program around. And looking back now, we could have done things a little bit different, but it was the way it was. But we learned a lot from the Knoxville Nationals through the end of the season. We definitely, you know, changed our program tremendously. We went from, you know, faltering seventh place in the points to end up fourth in the points and finally win a race. So definitely the chassis change turned our program around. But as a team, I mean, my guys had to work so hard to make it happen, and really didn't have a lot of time to make it happen, but they did. And as soon as we got back from Canada, they built us cars, and we got ready for Peebly and went from there. So you don't really have any time. I mean, right now is the time you need to be preparing for your outlaw season, and we didn't get to really do that last year. Not only trying to build a team, but we were building the wrong team at the time. So it took us to get with GF1 to figure out what we needed to do, and luckily this year that's the way we're going, and starting with GF1, and hopefully we continue to run as well as we did at the end of the season.
With the rules the way they are now, how hard is it to find gains with the race car?
It's hard. It's really hard. I mean, with the wings being, you know, pretty much standard, anybody can buy them. The cars are standard, anybody can buy them. I think it's little things. A lot of it's shocks. A lot of it's motors. A lot of it's drivers. You know, a lot of it's everybody. It's everybody doing their part, and every little thing that you can contribute adds up to a lot. So you definitely, as a driver, which I know I need to do a better job at, is just make sure every time I hit the track, I'm doing the best job I can, because I can make or break the whole night by my qualifying effort or my dash run, or, you know, just any little mistake I make. It's hard to make that up on the racetrack, and I think that's why the initial starts or double file restarts are so important with our cars, because everybody's so fast and competitive, it's hard to make it up on the racetrack. So you just have to do everything you can to make it right, and you hope everybody involved with your team is making the right decisions at the right time. And when all that's clicking, then you can knock off wins and be competitive, and that's what you got to do. It's not easy, that's for sure.
And anyone that follows you on social media knows that you like helmets. You really like helmets. I mean, you're what I'd consider someone who's well up on the history of the sport and appreciates the history of the sport. And one way you do that is you collect various driver helmets throughout the years, and you've got just about everybody I can think of probably that you've raced with and stuff. Is there one right now, is there one target or some, well, a helmet in particular, it's kind of like, man, I really need this guy's lid on my wall that I don't have yet?
I mean, for me, the biggest and historical person for me would definitely be Doug Wolfgang. I got pretty much everybody but Doug Wolfgang that I know, or, you know, that I appreciate in the World of Outlaw era, you know, that I really need to get would be Doug. And obviously, you know, his racing career was cut short, and in the early days, them racers, you know, they didn't get, you know, 3, 4, 5 helmets a year. They got probably one helmet for 1 or 2 or 3 years. And so it's hard to get somebody like that. Then if somebody has it, you know, they realize how hard it is too, and they appreciate it, and it's hard for them to give it up. But that's the guy I'm looking for. That's the guy I'd love to have. And I mean, there's other guys. I'll try to get Darren Pittman. He's a hard guy to get. He doesn't give his helmets up. And there'd be a guy now being an outlaw champion, he'd definitely be worth having his helmet in a collection. And, you know, I'll keep working on him. He lives in the same town as me, so I run into him every now and then. So I bug him enough. Maybe in time he'll just give it to me so I shut up. But I definitely, I just appreciate other drivers. I'm a fan of the sport too. And, being from a second generation driver, my dad raced, so, you know, I appreciate what everybody's had to go through to get to this point and what they got to do to be professional race car drivers. So it just means a lot. And then I just think the helmet is more personable than, you know, just, you know, an autograph or a suit or something. Their helmet just seems to be more sacred to that driver and who they are. And I just got hooked on it, and I love doing it, and I'm up to like 124 now. So, So I keep going. Hopefully I can get more. I love it, and it's definitely a conversation piece when people come into my shop.
Definitely. Joey Saldana joining us on the line here. And television came back into the sport this year. There was a tape package with CBS Sports Network towards the end of the season. How important is it for the World of Outlaws to get back on television from a race team's standpoint? And does the tape television really help, or do you think it's got to be back on live TV to really move the needle for the race team sponsorship-wise?
Well, I think it's big. I mean, I think for us, I mean, I know Hemsall's not a, you know, the primary sponsor on our car, but it's a very good associate sponsor. And I think one reason they're on our car is because of the TV package. I don't think they'd even mess with it if it wasn't there. And so I think that's good for all the teams is having some sort of TV package with the World of Outlaws. Does it need to be live? No, I don't think so. It seems like our sport just doesn't do it justice when it's live. The tape delayed and the way they do it, I think they do a great job with it. I think it just works for the teams and how they can make the programs work well is that way. I don't know. I'm glad that they've worked hard to get another TV package because, like I said with Monitor, I mean, it's one man team that's Bill and he needs help. So I'm glad they did it because now we have some help with him, Saul, and other people. In time, I think we'll jump on board and be a part of it because of the TV. So I definitely think it's a necessity to have with our sport.
And one last question. Like I said, you're a historian of the sport. You're a second-generation guy. You probably don't even remember the first racetrack you went to because you were just there. For you, you've done this so long. What's still fun about it? I mean, I look at myself. I've grown up in the sport. And it's just, I can think of so many things, but what makes this still, I mean, it's a career for you. It is a job, but at the same time, there's still an enjoyable factor of it. So what makes sprint car racing still just incredibly awesome for Joey Saldana?
Well, I think for me, everything that my dad has, he got through racing. He's a hard worker. And he'll do whatever it takes to make money, but really his whole life, his house, his family, his land, his businesses, everything came from racing. And, for me, that's kind of what I want to emulate. I wanted to be like my dad, so if I could be a professional race car driver, man, that would be so cool. So, I've been lucky enough to be able to do that and experience it and provide for my family and have nice things and, you know, enjoying my family and, you know, not have to get a job on the side, just race. And, I think when I got hurt, the last time I got hurt, it made me realize how lucky I am to be a driver and how much, you know, it could easily turn around on me and not do what I love to do. So I think actually getting hurt and sitting out and watching the other guys race and actually other guys drive my race car, you know, you realize that it can be taken from you any minute, and you need to appreciate what's going on and just enjoy it. And that's when I finally realized it's really not about anything other than just racing and enjoying what it is and being thankful that you get to do something you love and get paid for it. So, I don't know. I just love it. I mean, I'll go to a race tomorrow and just watch, you know, just because I like seeing what's going on, and it doesn't have to be wing or Don Wing or whatever, or midget sprint car. I just enjoy good dirt track racing, and I've been lucky enough to be born and raised in Indiana where dirt track racing thrives, and then I was lucky enough to say that I'm a professional race car driver, so I just love it. I don't know anything specifically other than I just appreciate what's going on and what guys can do with their race cars and how they make them look so fast and how they adapt to the different racetracks. It's just neat to experience, and I'm glad I'm a part of it.
That says it all right there. Hey, kids that are coming out in the sport, listen to this guy, the appreciation he has for what came before him. It'll do you a lot of good. Well, Joey, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Best of luck on the tour, and after you come back out west, we'll definitely cross paths at Eldora or someplace in the tri-state area, I'm sure, as you guys head back east.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and hopefully when I see you again, we've knocked some winds out. We have something to talk about, so you can have me back on.
That's definitely a plus. Thanks, Joey, for taking time out for us.
All right, man. Thank you.
Joey Saldana joining us on the line. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Rex LeJune from Attica Raceway Park. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest, operations manager over at the Attica Raceway Park, where they'll kick off their season, and it could be 70 degrees or it could be as cold as it is today on March 28th for Rex LeJune at Attica Raceway Park. And Rex, do you want to make a prediction yet on the over-under for the temperature on March the 28th?
Oh, let's go with 55 and sunny during the day, and I think we'll be in good shape.
I think that would be, I'd be okay with that. That would be great. But another great season at Attica. And man, I was looking, doing some research, and man, it seems like it's hard to believe that John Boris took over in 2006. It seems like it was just yesterday you guys moved in there and started turning things around. And I can't tell people enough that the job you guys have done fixing up the facility and just polishing in the edges there at Attica Raceway Park and doing a great job.
Yeah, well, you know, the first 20 or 20 some years that I was open, you know, it was a good place to go into. You know, it was well established pretty much. And like you say, you know, we came in 2006 and just kind of had to add, you know, to the program and, you know, done some different things every year, you know, from improvements to, you know, bringing in the full late models and stuff like that. So every year we try to do something different and add to the program. And like you say, done a lot to the facility. So we're going to go at it for the 26th season coming up here in March.
And, you know, when I look at your schedule, I mean, you have tweaked it a little bit. But it's not really that much different from the Attica schedule I grew up going to, really. I mean, there's a Spring Nationals, there's a Speed Week date, there's now a World of Outlaws date. You do have a couple big late model races, but even it ends with a big show on Labor Day. It's really the same framework, like I said, but I don't think it's really that big of a change, it seems like.
No, like you say, there's only so much you can do. You know, we're kind of, you know, tied in, obviously, on Friday nights, and it's kind of where we're at, and that's a good thing. And like I say, you know, we try to start off the season with a big 2-day show. You know, depending on weather, of course, with the All Star Sprints for 2 days. A little bit different on that this year. On Saturday, we're going to pay $10,000 to win on the final night on Saturday night this year. We added that to the program, and then, like you say, you know, we go on to Speed Week, and you know, like I say, we kind of established you know, some dates with our Outlaws. You know, being the last Friday in May. You know, the weekend after Memorial Day weekend, you know, you try to establish some dates that the fans can look forward to. And, like, you know, they keep, you know, they call, you know, want to know what the schedule is going to come out and if the dates are the same so they can make the, you know, plans on their vacations and so forth. So you try to, you know, be consistent and keep, you know, some of the dates the same every year so the fans know what, you know, what's going on. And then, you know, we get down to August and, the last weekend of the year, Labor Day weekend, you know, we made that a 2-day show, you know, last year. We're going to continue that this year, try to establish a nice, you know, weekend to end the season on with the Lucas Oil late models and the All-Star Sprints on Friday, and then come back with, you know, the Attica Ambush, you know, nightcap on Saturday with the All-Star Sprints and our regular three divisions. So, like I say, it's pretty much the same. You know, we just, you know, maybe changed a few things here and there, but like I say, you know, pretty happy with the way it's kind of laid out, and so we'll go with it.
Mother Nature's a cruel mistress for racing, and for me, it's been exceptionally cruel to your World of Outlaws program. I don't know what they have against you guys getting a World of Outlaws schedule a race in, but we're on Steve Kinzer's farewell tour this year. Are you guys going to do anything special for Steve when his farewell tour comes through, weather permitting, at Attica?
Yeah, we hope to do something. You know, of course, you know, we had our nice, you know, full color message center. We're hoping to, you know, do something with that and, you know, put a tribute together for Steve, you know, for the race. And like I say, he's raced at Attica, you know, since it opened, first time he came in 1989 and won. And I think he picked up the first two or three World of Outlaw shows. And, you know, unfortunately he didn't win one of the biggest races at Attica when Mark Keegan beat him, you know, in the Speed Week final there in 95. But, like I say, you know, Steve's been a part of Attica's history, even though, you know, he hasn't raced there a whole lot. But like I say, you know, a lot of our fans are looking forward to seeing him come in, and we just hope he can have a good night that night. And we'll put together something and put a nice little tribute together for him. And like I say, just hope the weather cooperates this year. You know, it's been 4 out of 8 years we haven't had the race, so hopefully our odds are against us on our side this time.
You can only have it go against you so many times. You've raced at a lot, or have worked at so many different Ohio racetracks, including Attica from the beginning, but you've worked at Findlay and Fremont and Eldora and all kinds of other places, and you've spent, even with the Gum Out Tour, you've spent quite a bit of time with Steve. Do you have an interesting Steve Kinzer story you could share with us, maybe something a little off the beaten path that'd be kind of interesting, or a fun Steve, or maybe a favorite Steve Kinzer moment, perhaps?
Well, there's a lot of moments, you know, when you see him race, you know, a lot of things. But I guess one of the things, when I was flagging at Eldora Speedway, That was the years they used to run the King's Royal, and then they come back a month later and run the historical big one. Well, the, you know, just for myself and for my own scrapbook, I'd like to get some pictures taken in Victory Lane with the winners. And of course, at Eldora, when you have the big races, you just can't get close to the Victory Lane ramp down there. So Dave Blaney had won the King's Royal. Well, 2 days later, I think the Outlaws were at I-96 Speedway. So I took my uniform and my flag and my camera and went up to I-96 and had somebody with me and asked Dave if I got my stuff out, if I could get a picture taken with him for like a, you know, Victory Lane thing. I put like a plaque together. He said yes. So we took the picture and looked at my camera, and back then it was a 35-millimeter camera, and I had two pictures left on it. So I looked, and Steve's parked beside Dave Blaney. So I go over to Steve and I says, hey, if you win the historical big one, I'll never get down there to get the picture. How about doing it now? He goes, well, that sounds good to me. So we took the picture here, and that was in the middle of July. Come back in August for the historical big one, and he wins. So after the races, he's up in the scoring tower, wringing wet sweat, and they're interviewing him. And so I go up there to change, and I, on a piece of paper, I put on the note, I put, remember the picture at I-96, and I handed it to Steve. And he looked at it, and he just started smiling. He comes over and shakes my hand and says, hey, that was a good prediction. He says, I'm glad we're going to do that again. So that was kind of cool. So I got my picture taken a month before that, and he ended up winning the race. In fact, both them plaques are hanging in my office here at home on my wall.
Who says a promoter can't look into a crystal ball and see what happens? Rex LeJune from Attica Raceway Park sharing with us a very enlightening Steve Kinzer story. That's a good one. I like that one. And let's go back to Attica for a little bit. Is there anything new fans can expect this year? Are you guys doing any facility improvements or anything like that? I know you were hard at work putting some clay on the racetrack and painting some barriers and stuff before the snow started flying this year. But what else can fans expect that might be a little bit different at Attica for 2014?
Well, we obviously we got our schedule out a week or so ago, and that was the first step. And like I say, we're still putting some finishing touches on. We don't know exactly what we're going to do or what shows we're going to do it, but some of the drivers have been wanting to qualify at Attica for the last few years, and we're trying to incorporate that either into our weekly shows or the fast events or something like that for the 410 sprints, and just kind of see. Try to come up with a good format for qualifying that, you know, maybe, you know, try to have a good balance between the good qualifiers and the cars, you know, that don't have the heavy hitting motors that still, you know, want to be competitive. And like I say, our field draw has been really good. Last year we had, I think, only one repeat winner out of our 11 or 12 weekly shows. And one of them winners came from 13th. So the system we have isn't all broke, but like I say, we're just trying to maybe mix it up a little bit, get a little bit of a variety. And the format maybe will be like, you know, the qualifying will kind of set the heat races, but then the featured events will be kind of based on like a redraw type thing. So if you don't qualify good or have some bad luck in the heat races, you're not penalized all night, you know, through qualifying. So we're thinking of incorporating something like that, maybe, like I say, in the fast events, maybe for this year to kind of see how it goes rather than commit every week. And then maybe do something for the fast 305 events and, you know, so a few of our late model specials. You know, we kind of put a mini series together with Wayne County Speedway on Friday and Saturday nights for our late models and kind of like a challenge series. So we have a lot of, you know, big events, so we could kind of, you know, do that a little bit. And like I say, just kind of see how it goes for a few of the races and then, you know, kind of go from there. So it'll kind of be like in group qualifying. So, you know, it won't take any more time. And, you know, they'll just kind of hot lap and qualify at the same time when they're on the racetrack. So we're still trying to figure things out. We're planning on doing something. I'm not saying 100% sure what we're going to do yet, but that'll be one of the things that will be changing. And like I say, if you do that, then, you know, of course, the format will change a little bit. And just whatever we can do to, you know, to make it, you know, exciting for the fans and not take away from the racing. So I think we can kind of accomplish both if we just kind of, you know, take our time here and try to put a good format together that will work.
I knew there's a reason we've had so much snow and it's so cold here. They're going to qualify at Attica on a weekly basis. Rex LeJune joining us on the line. Here's an interesting question I thought of. You and I go to Knoxville every year. We room together now and stuff at Knoxville with our buddies and stuff. And you are blessed with the county fair, your Attica fair coming in the same week as the Knoxville Nationals. Do you think if the fair wasn't the same week as the Nationals, would you guys still race that week or would you take that week off?
I don't know what we would actually do. We just kind of have to see what happens. I'm sure we would probably race something. I don't know if we would race, you know, 410 sprints or what we would race, because we have three other good divisions, you know, with our late models and with the 305 sprints and the dirt trucks and you know, stuff like that. So I'm sure we could put a race on, but like I say, so far it's kind of fell on the right weekend to get everybody a little bit of a break, and hopefully that'll continue so I can still go out to, you know, to Knoxville and just see what a great facility and a great job they do, and you know, try to learn something out there. And a lot of other things we do when we're out there, you know, we have the sprint car forum and other stuff like that. So hopefully it'll keep working out like that, and we'll just enjoy it and then come back after the fair and do some Saturday night racing and close out the season.
You've been at Attica for a while, and you guys have made great progress, but where is Attica Raceway Park going? Are you guys looking more to maintain, or where are you looking to grow or improve a little bit over the next few years?
Well, I think, you know, we just try to you know, you want to maintain, but you also want to grow with what you have. And like you say, you know, we're just, you know, just trying to, you know, keep things going here. And, you know, I say we have great fans and we have great sponsors and great partners, you know, in our marketing. And, you know, if it wasn't for our sponsors, you know, I think all our racetracks would be in not real good shape. And, you know, we have a lot of great sponsors, and we just try to give them a good quality program. And if we do that, you know, you're talking, you know, some you know, people coming in from, you know, Merrill Lynch, Edward Jones, and, you know, some other big companies like that. And Summit Racing Equipment out of the Akron area has come on board the last few years. And, like I say, with them on board, they're bringing in some new people. And I say to get some more exposure. And, you know, one of our things that we're looking to maybe to possibly do something with our scoring tower to maybe expand that. And our skybox seating is kind of getting full. We need to probably be looking at doing something with that at the same time, and maybe putting some more seats, you know, up high there in the grandstand and kind of expanding that. And like I say, you know, if we can, you know, keep our show, you know, going and keep improving that, and the fans keep coming, and you never know what we're going to do. And like I say, we have to start, you know, the end of March, and, you know, we kind of have to end it, so our season has to end when it does, because, you know, you're on Fridays with high school football and other big specials in September and October. But like I say, if we can just grow with what we got and just kind of see where it goes from there.
Saturday's getting kind of crowded in Ohio. We've got KC Raceway coming back on board. Wayne County switched to Saturday nights. Do you feel good about your position on Friday nights with some of these tracks coming back online on Saturdays?
Yeah, you know, I say, obviously, you know, you think, you know, the ideal night of the weekend is Saturday, but, like you say, because, you know, most people are off work all day, but, like I say, you know, I think it's going to be okay for everybody. You know, they're, you know, tracks are spread out enough that, you know, that, the ones that are running on Saturday, they're still, you know, a lot of good quality cars, and, you know, you do a lot of local racing, you know, the fans are going to go to their local racetrack pretty much. And, like you say, on Friday, we're happy with the way Fridays are, me, like, you know, working at the racetrack, you know, I work on, you know, Friday night track and go down on Saturday morning, help with trash duty a little bit. And I got the rest of the weekend, you know, and, you know, so our staff likes that too. They still have the rest of the weekend to, you know, to do whatever they want with their families. And if you're kind of on Saturdays, it's right in the middle of the weekend. You can't do much all day Saturday. And then you're, you know, just kind of recuperating on Sunday. So it kind of works both ways. But, like I say, you know, Saturday, you know, for some of the fans, it's kind of the idea they get more time to get to the races. And, but like I say, you know, if we can, you know, we're happy with Fridays, and we'll just kind of, you know, keep it the way it is.
Well, Rex, I've known you for a long time. It's great to have you there at Attica, and it's been fun watching the improvements and stuff. If people want to learn more about Attica Raceway Park, where can they find the information?
Well, we have a lot of different ways. We have AticaRacewayPark.com. Scott Ford does a great job with our website, and that's available. And also we're on Facebook at Attica Raceway Park and Twitter at Attica Raceway Park. So there's all kinds of avenues to check out what we're doing. And like I say, our website gets well over 1,000 hits a day. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but it sounds good. But like I say, you know, there's a lot of good information on there. The World of Outlaw reserved tickets are on sale now. The information's on that. Our schedule's up there, and the other stuff coming along here shortly. So I say just check it out, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody sometime during the 2014 season.
Well, Rex, I hope people go out there and check it out, because it's a great place to watch racing. It's one of my favorite tracks in the country. I just love coming to Attica, and like I said, you'll always see a good show, whether it's the Saturday night show, the All-Stars. Pretty much seems every time I'm there, it's a good race, and you guys just keep up what you're doing, because you're doing a great job over there.
Okay, Sly, you too. You do a great job, too. Thanks for having us on.
No problem. Thanks, Rex. Take care. Rex LeJune from Attica Raceway Park joining us on the line. I'm telling you, Attica has been one of my favorites since childhood, and it's still right up there on the line. They do things right over there, and it's people like Rex and everyone else over there that makes it happen. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I'd like to thank everybody that was on tonight, Dean Reynolds, Joey Saldana, and Rex LeJune. We'll do it again here again Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern next week. Thank you, and good night.
For listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.